Cameron Wilson with you. This is Bush Telegraph on RN and across the region on Radio Australia. It's time for Food on Friday. Now, it's that time of year where, if you're anything like me, you'd wished you'd allowed a little more time to put together a bit of a gift stockpile so you weren't relying on cheap trinkets to fill stockings. Well, it's not too late. You can't have a Christmas feast without tracklements. These are the various accompaniments for meats and cheese platters. They're the things like chutneys, pickles, preserves and sauces. Sally Wise loves her preserves and her chutneys. In fact, she's been addicted to them for more than 30 years. She's the author of a hugely successful recipe book called A Year in the Bottle, and she's here to talk tracklements on Food on Friday. G'day, Sally.
Hi, Cameron.
Thank you for coming in. Can we discuss this word tracklements first? Because it's got us all talking in the office this morning. What does it include?
Well, it's a word that actually originates back in the 1950s, and it includes mostly savoury products to go with meats and cheeses, savoury jellies, sauces and pickles.
Okay. We couldn't find it in the Macquarie Dictionary.
It's hard to track down.
Yeah, it exists in the Oxford, we found. So,
excellent.
Yeah. What are your favourites? What are your favourite tracklements?
Oh, my goodness. Well, this time of the year, to go with turkey, I love red currant jelly. It's just beautiful. And to go with ham, I would like a zucchini pickle, which is so easy to make, and you can quickly convert that just by changing some of the zucchini factor to some cauliflower, and then you have like the old mustard pickle, Lily. It's just beautiful.
Zucchini pickle with ham. I always think more along something fruit-based with my ham, or mustard.
Yeah, well, this is a mustard pickle, and it has zucchini, and it has some sugar in it, it has some onion and capsicum in it, so it's a very mellow pickle, and it's totally delicious. It's a perfect match. And if you want something to serve as a little snack for people when they come with dry biscuits or some fresh bread, you mix some of that with equal parts cream cheese, and it is sensational.
Okay, so is this the one that you've got a recipe for us that we've got on our website?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. So if people like the sound of that, go to our website soon, and they can see for themselves how to do that. Can we get some basics here? Give me the difference between a relish and a chutney and a pickle.
Okay, pickle and pickle relish chutney, sometimes people use them interchangeably, but actually pickle originally referred to like pickled vegetables, like pickled cucumber or something like that. Mm-hmm. Now it has a far broader term, such as in the zucchini pickle. A chutney is something that often includes fruit, and it's cooked for a longer time, say 1 to 2 or even more hours, and it has a much more rounded, mellow flavour, where a pickle, like the zucchini pickle, is cooked more like the zucchini pickle for a short period of time. That's only 20-25 minutes, and so you have a chunkier texture and sharper flavour.
In a relish is a much shorter time than
a
chutney.
Relish. Yes.
Okay, all right. I'm following. Let's have the basics here. What are the must do's and the must don'ts, if you like, if you're going to make tracklements at home?
If you're going to make them at home, make sure that all your equipment is really clean. Sterilise your jars before you bottle the thing that you've made, your relish or your chutney, and also make sure that you've got the balance right. You know, sometimes people think, oh, I don't like the amount of sugar that's in that, maybe I'll just cut it out altogether, but recipes have been designed to have a careful balance to make sure that they keep well, so beware of changing any recipe, because often they've been scientifically put together.
Okay, so it's not the Jamie Oliver approach, if you like, where you sort of grab a handful of this and a handful of that and don't worry too much. You have to be precise.
With everyday cooking, that's okay, because then you get your own type of signature dishes and you can have that flexibility. But when you're making pickles, they can go off, pickles, chutneys, relishes, they can go off. So you don't want that to happen, because they can cause botulism poisoning. So you must make sure that you keep the quantities right. And I found one combination that works. For instance, if you have a kilo of your vegetables that you want to make into a chutney, then have 500 ml of vinegar, 500 ml of 500 grams of sugar, and then you know you'll be safe. And that's a really nice combination on the palate as well.
Okay,
but then you add your spices.
It looks like a lot of sugar, though. I guess that's what puts people off.
I guess so, but then you're not eating very much of it. It's not like you eat a bucket full with your meat. You only have a little tiny bit with it.
If it comes out all right, sometimes I have more of the condiment than the meat. Just depends how well it's made.
Well, it's only a very small amount that you take in. It's so delicious sometimes. I agree, you have to have a little bit more than just your traditional teaspoonful.
Yeah, yeah. Discussing this today, a lot of people in the office have come across mold when they're making various preserves.
Yes.
The common approach seemed to be scrape it off and keep going. Is that okay?
No. No, it's not really, because mold can send out spores and tendrils that can go down far further than you realise, and so it can be quite dangerous to do that. No, you really need to discard it. Sorry, but you do.
Yeah, okay. But that is a sign, though, that you haven't got your ratios right in the first
place.
That's
right. Or maybe you haven't stored it properly. Like, you need to put the lids on while your product is hot, fill the jar right to the brim, put the lids on while that's piping hot, and then make sure you've got a good seal, screw the lid down tight. You can use cellophane papers, but I find with the rubber band that sometimes you get a break in that seal, so I go for lids. And then once it's cool, store it in a cool, dry, dark place, and then you shouldn't have any trouble at all, so long as you've followed your recipe and you have your proportions right.
Okay, so you've got to sterilise well in the first place, you've got to follow the recipe, you've got to prepare things right, you've got to seal them right, and then store them right.
That's it. Simple. It really is. It's just a few basic safety tips that you need to follow. Like, to sterilise jars is easy. You just throw them in the oven and then turn the oven on to 100 degrees. When it's up to that temperature, leave them 10 minutes, take them out, they're sterilised. It's fine. Mm. And then when you make your pickle, if you want to be sure the lid is sterilised, while the jar's hot, turn it upside down and that will sterilise the lid.
I'm interested in how people become real enthusiasts with all this, because it seems to me that you gain a feel for the fruit or the veggies that you're working with and how they might set, if I use that word, and how they behave in a different fashion.
Yes, it's just wonderful, because you're working with seasonal produce and there's always something comforting about that. You know, you're making the most of the season, you're making the most of what is in abundance at the time, and there's no wastage and you have something put aside, and the flavours are so intense compared to the commercial product that you can buy off the shelf. It's just stunning, the difference.
I'm going to have to come clean then. I had a friend make some mango chutney for me, because I quite like Indian food. And I didn't like it as much as the mango chutney I bought off the shelf. That's
because he didn't use a very good recipe, that's all.
Okay, it's not a reflection on my taste buds.
No, because there are a lot of recipes out there, and you have to look at a recipe and look at that balance that I spoke about before. Now, if something is very heavily laced with vinegar with not quite so much sugar, you might think, well, that's going to be very sharp when I make that on the palate. So maybe, you know, I'll choose another recipe that looks like it has that sweet-sour balance better within it. So, yeah, you just need to play about with recipes, and some sometimes it might depend on your fruit. You might use perhaps mangoes that were underripe and didn't have their flavour developed properly. It can come down to a whole range of factors.
Mm. My guest here on Bush Telegraph on Food on Friday is Sally Wise, author and cook, author of A Year in a Bottle. Now, what's some of the history behind the use of tracklements? Because in some ways they're associated with English cooking, English food, but also, like I just said, Indian cuisine.
That's right. They go back a long, long way, to about 500 BC, a lot of the chutneys go back to.
So that far?
So people have been playing around with them for a long time, because preserving really determines what people can do. If you can't preserve your food, then you can't go far from home. And really, preserving has changed the whole makeup of the world. You couldn't go exploring if you couldn't take food with you in some preserved form, because you didn't know how long it would be before you hit land again. And so there's all sorts of tales about how spices were acquired. I read one recently where Arabs, they had a monopoly on the spice trade for such a long time, and they wanted cinnamon bark, which large birds used to take up to nests. And so they would take bullocks with them and kill them and put large hunks of meat on the ground, and then the birds would fly down, get them, go back up to the nest, and because it was too heavy, and so the branch would break, the nest would fall down, and they'd get their cinnamon sticks. So how about that? So that's how precious spices were. And they were as valuable as silver and gold, because people loved them to spice up their chutneys and to spice up their food.
The idea that we've been preserving for 2,500 years
It's incredible.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is. And the British, of course, they have just turned it into an art form. You know, that's wonderful sauces that they have. And especially so since the spice trade out to India, you know, they were able to access the spices. And, of course, they became cheaper and cheaper as time went on. So they were for the everyday man then.
So do you think the British get a dud deal when it comes to their reputation for food?
Yes, in a lot of ways, particularly when it comes to preserves. I mean, if some of their food is bland, as some people say it is, well, maybe that's why they have the chance, because they can be used for so much more than just serving with a piece of meat or a piece of cheese. If you include them in your everyday cooking, you'd be astounded at the extra zing that it adds to that particular dish. So, yeah, I think maybe we should give them a lot of credit for chutney and what they've done with that, and the sauces, like the Worcester sauce, for instance. That's amazing and can add all sorts of flavour to food if you just include a little.
I can't get enough of Worcester sauce, especially on breakfast, fried up breakfast.
You should make your own.
Is it simple?
Easy.
Oh, can you run me through it? Because I will do this.
Yeah. Yes, it's in a year in a bottle. So all you do is take about 1.5 kilos of plums, or you can use apricots even, or you can use lemons, and then you add to that about a tin and a half of treacle, a kilo of brown sugar, and then you add 5 litres of vinegar and about 125 grams of garlic and the same of green ginger, which you bruise and throw into the pot, and some salt. I think it's 2 tablespoons. And then you cook that, and it makes your house smell amazing. Yeah. And your clothes. Remember to close your cupboard doors. And you cook that for about 4 hours, and then you strain it. And, of course, you can cut that recipe in half, but that will last you for at least a year, no matter how many breakfasts you have it with.
Oh, really? So I won't have to keep forking out $8, $9 a bottle?
Absolutely. It's delicious. It really is.
Terribly different if I choose apricots over plums or lemons?
It does make a difference. The one with lemons is a little bit more tart. The ones with apricots, I particularly like the flavour of apricots, so more traditionally it's made with plums. Some people include anchovies, but I don't. I leave that factor right out of it. But, yeah, it's a subtle difference between apricots and plums, but certainly there is a difference. I think that I would go for apricots. So dams and plums are amazing. And if you want to, with that recipe, if you want a little bit fruitier, you can double the amount of fruit, because there is so much vinegar and so many other preserving products in there, like your treacle, your sugar and your salt, that it will keep if you do double the fruit in that recipe.
So I've got whatever it is now, a handful of days before Christmas, I could get cracking and have that ready as Christmas gifts.
Absolutely. Buy some pretty little bottles and off you go. You've got gifts ready made.
You might have got me out of a hole here.
Absolutely.
What else is around at the moment that you're particularly interested in? Now, I know one thing that I read on your blog that I was quite interested that you were working with is pineapples, but tell me about that and what else you're working with at the moment, or what else people can be working with at the moment.
On my blog there's a recipe for a pineapple relish, which is really nice. That's lovely with ham as well. I don't like to waste anything, so I use it's on my blog too, I use the skin to make a pineapple syrup. Yeah. Now that's great in cocktails. And then at the moment there's a lot of raspberries around, and I love to make, and these are great though it's a bit late for Christmas, so it'd be good for New Year, I love to make sparkling fruit drinks, and again that's on my blog. And all you do, you throw into a bucket 4 cups of sugar, 4 cups of boiling water, dissolve that, then add 14 cups of cold water, chopped up lemon, 180 ml of vinegar, and then 875 grams of anything but apples. Like I use raspberries, a mixture of raspberries and rhubarb. You can use crab apples, you can use apricots, plums, peaches, anything you have.
Whatever's there.
Throw a tea towel over the bucket, leave it to stand 2 days, strain it, and then bottle it into empty PET bottles, empty soft drink bottles. Or you can buy new ones from home brewing suppliers, and then just fill it to the necks, trust me, and then twist the lid on, and then in 5 to sometimes 3 days you'll have a beautiful sparkling additive free soft drink for anyone. And they're great for people who don't who just want to have a mocktail or don't want to drink alcohol. Perfect. Or if you do like it with a little alcoholic content, put in a splash of vodka or gin. It's fantastic.
Okay. I love the fact that you won't even waste the skins of the pineapple.
Oh, no.
Everything can be used.
everything. Well, I mean, pineapples here in Tasmania are a little bit expensive, so I think, well, they've got potential, really. So I made up that recipe. It's lovely, particularly in a Blue Moon cocktail. Oh, my goodness.
And it's there to be followed on your blog if people like the sound of it. What I found, because I've been talking to a lot of people over the last few days because I knew you were coming on the program, people seem to associate tracklements, preserves, sauces and the like with their childhood. Everyone's got a story of when they were young, how they used to either do something with their grandparents or go and pick this and that. It really seems to stick in the memory of people that have been involved with this in the past.
Yes, that's it. And I think it's about the fruit, of course, but it's about the sense of going out and doing things together, you know, going and picking the fruit, bringing it back and, you know, I always think that cooking is a great catalyst to communication. You stand around, you talk about the food, you talk about what you're doing, you talk about other things as well. It's so companionable, and you come out with wonderful products at the end. And I found with our six children that then they would love to give what we'd made away as gifts to people, and they were always well received. And like, you can always, if you even use just empty jars of peanut butter or whatever, you can, once the jars are washed out and sterilised, of course, then, and your products in them, then dress them up with a little bit of pretty material and ribbon. They just look $1 million, and they cost next to nothing, and they've been done with such thought and care for the person you're giving them to.
And if you can do it with six kids, no one's got any excuse to say, I haven't got time to do this kind of stuff.
No, it's great to do with children. They just adore it.
Sally, thank you. You have a good Christmas. We've got a link. We will have the zucchini recipe you gave us up on our website soon. We'll make sure we can direct people to your website for more information as well. Really nice talking to you. All the best.
Likewise, Cameron. Thank you.
Sally Wise, author of A Year in a Bottle, and cook as well, and food educator, shall I call her? Always trying to get people to do preserving themselves, making tracklements.